Welcome to the Over a Cup podcast. I'm your host, Tara Cole. This podcast is for moms who feel too busy, distracted, and tired to spend time with Jesus, much less help their kids do the same. As moms, one of our biggest goals is to see our kids get to heaven, but we can't introduce them to a God we don't know ourselves. But between drop-off and pickup lines, practices, and activities, when are we to find the time? There is hope. This podcast will help you feel encouraged, inspired, and equipped to fight distractions and find the time to spend with Jesus. Thank you so much for being here with me. Pour yourself a cup as we learn how to focus on Jesus together. Hi, friends. Welcome to our first episode of the Over a Cup podcast, where we start diving into God's Word together. So as busy moms who are overwhelmed and distracted, yet desire deeply to have a relationship with Jesus, we often struggle to wonder, how do we do that? Well, I firmly believe that the foundation of a relationship with God is getting into His Word. And time and time again, I've had moms ask me, well, how? How do I get into His Word? And so this podcast is transitioning just a little bit to show you how to do that and to walk along with you in that. If you need help developing the habit, I call them holy habits, of getting into God's Word, then go back to the last episode, episode 46, and that walks you through a proven process that will help you start your holy habit today and stick with it. So if you're struggling to even start the holy habit of getting into God's Word, go back and listen to episode 46. If you're ready to dive in and walk with me as we study the Word together, then let's get started with John 1 through 4. So I have a question for you as we get started. Why are we scared of the dark? Many of us as children or our children are terrified of the darkness. We seek night lights, we want lanterns, we want the light turned on or the closet light turned on. For me as a kid, it was because I wasn't sure what the darkness held. So when the lights went off at night, I had a vivid imagination and would often imagine all kinds of monsters under the bed, people outside the window, you name it, my imagination concocted it. And so I wanted the light on so I could see what was present, so it would bring the things in the darkness to light and it could show the truth. When the light came, it showed me there was no one outside the window. There were no monsters under our bed. And so it brought the darkness, the truth, to light whenever the light was turned on. It let me see what was true instead of going based off of my feelings or imagination or what I had concocted in my head. Well, as we get into John 1, 1 through 4, we're going to look at these passages using the look method. So every podcast, I'm going to run through the look method. Even if you're not reading along with us, maybe you're doing a study at your church or something like that, or just trying to get started, you can still get something out of this, but we're going to use a look method to help us focus on Jesus together. So a quick run through of that is L, is we're going to listen to the Word. We're going to focus on the specific passage of the Word. Two, we're going to observe. So this first O is observe. The second O is open. We're going to open our hearts to God and what He says and pray and praise Him. And then last, the K stands for keep. How can we take something away with us? How can we keep His Word in our heart? So as we dive in today, we're going to look specifically at John 1, 1 through 9. There is so much here in the first four chapters of John. It would take hours to cover it all. So we're going to focus on just one portion in this podcast each time. So John 1, 1 through 9 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world." So here in this passage, we're looking at how Jesus is the true light that it is talking about. We can learn some things about Him here. He was in the beginning with God. He is God. Through him, all things were created. So he was there present at creation. In him is life, and that life is the light of all mankind. And we'll see throughout the book of John how Jesus lives out this life and this light, and how the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So just like I was talking about, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness, one, does not overcome it, and two, it brings the truth to light. It helps us see what is true. Then John came as a testifying about this light so that everyone might believe in Jesus and that the true light was coming into the world. So some fun things here is that when the Bible uses these metaphors like light, later on we'll see a good shepherd and water and bread, Jesus uses all these metaphors to describe himself throughout the book of John. Whenever he's using one of those metaphors, it's kind of fun to look up information about the way he's describing himself to see, does he have some of the characteristics of that item? So I love with my family watching different science shows. Neil deGrasse Tyson is one of my favorites to watch. I will warn you, he is a staunch atheist. But when he talks about the qualities of light, I can't help but be reminded of how God is our light and how Jesus is our light. It just proves God to me over and over again. So as I've been watching some of his specials over the years, there's a couple of things that really stuck out to me about qualities of light. One is that light is actually timeless. The closer an object approaches the speed of light, time slows down for it. For example, they tell about how if you took two identical twins and you have one down here on Earth and one who is approaching the speed of light going faster and faster, when they meet up again decades later, this twin that went closer to the speed of light would actually be younger. And if they reached the speed of light, they actually would not age at all. So that just proves God to me over and over again, because there's verses in the Bible that talk about how God is outside of time, how a year is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. It constantly talks about how God is outside time, he's outside space. And so in scientific terms, this is one way to prove that, quote unquote, because if God is in Jesus, our light, and light has no time, time doesn't have a hold over light, then that would kind of give a little bit of scientific proof to that. That's just a fun tidbit for you. Another thing that I love about light is that it is one source, like the sun, but there's a broad spectrum of light. So for example, in Genesis, we read how we are all made in God's image. But I don't know if you've looked around, but we all do not look the same. Humans are a wide spectrum of people, of colors, of personalities, of gifts. And so, like you, have often wondered, how on earth can we all be made in the image of God? Well, again, looking at how Jesus is the light and how it describes even God as a light in other parts of the Bible, if you have one source, but if you run it through a prism or another kind of detector that can see all the different spectrums of light, we have everything from infrared light on one end to X-ray on the other is what we're able to see at this day and time. I'm sure there's others past those. We have all the different colors of light in between that spectrum. And so even though we all come from one source, this shows how one of my sons can be ultra creative and the other one can be very mechanically inclined and both still be made in the image of God. Because God is one source, but as we look, as we can use a prism or another object to see, then we can see how he's broken up into all this wide variety, but it all still comes from one source. And another one that I've already talked about is that light cuts through the darkness. Even a tiny candle in a very dark room will draw the eyes to it and will start chasing the darkness away. It only takes a little bit of light to cut through the darkness. And as we look at that, we can see how Jesus is the true light. Isaiah 58, 6 through 10 tells us, "Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, clothe them, and do not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression and with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. Now, this is specifically talking about Israel. So God is kind of chastising in chapter 58 Israel for acting right in all the religious ways. They're showing up, they're giving their sacrifices, they're fasting. However, they are still treating their fellow Israelites awful. They are letting the hungry go hungry and starve. They're not clothing others. They're running away from their family members who need help. They're giving heavy yokes and putting chains on people who don't deserve it. And so God is chastising them for that. And then Isaiah 58, 6 through 10 tells what they should be doing instead. Or also, not only should they be serving God, praising him, but they should also be taking care of their fellow man. What's interesting is it says, then your light will break like the dawn. And it says later, then your light will rise in the darkness. Jesus came, and throughout the book of John, we'll see how he did these exact same things. He loosed the chains of injustice whenever he let the adulterous woman go free. We read about that in John, how the men came and threw the woman in front of Jesus, saying that she was adulterous, and what should they do? Doesn't the law say to stone them? But he loosed the chains of injustice. And that was unjust, one, because they were just using that as an example to trap Jesus. Two, because all of them knew they had sinned in ways that would also have the same punishment, which is why they walked away in the end. And three, the verses that they are referring to in Deuteronomy say the man and the woman should both be stoned. And here they had only dragged the woman before Jesus. The man was nowhere in sight. So in that instance, Jesus is loosening the chains of injustice. He's untying the cords that are binding someone. He's setting the oppressed free. Then we see him giving food to the hungry. We see him providing for those who need it. We see him encouraging others to clothe those who are naked. And so throughout the book of John and other gospels, we see Jesus acting out what the light looks like, what being the true light looks like. And I love, as we look through the Bible, that God never asks us to do something he has not done himself. So whenever God asks us to do something and you're like, how do I do that? What does that look like in my everyday life? I encourage you to go digging and look and see how he's already done that himself. He never, ever asked you to do something he has not done himself. And so here we see Jesus acting out the true light, and we will continue to see that as we study through the book of John. Then as we're looking at this, and our next step in the look process is to praise. And so in this section, opening our heart to God, after we have listened to the word, like we did reading those first few verses of John 1, we've kind of dug in and observing, what is the light? What does it look like? The open part is just opening our heart in praise, or in worship, or spending time with God. When you're doing this in your own quiet time, or Bible study, I would encourage you just to sit there with God quietly. If a prayer comes to mind, pray it. Or if you just need to sit there and listen for a few minutes while you sip your coffee or other favorite drink, I would encourage you to take a few minutes, if you have it, to just sit in silence with God. But during these times on the podcast, I'm going to pray through some of what we're learning together. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for being the true light. Thank you for showing us what the true light looks like, for coming and being a light in our darkness, for shining your light on the truth so that our fears run, so that our emotions can be in check, and so that we can see what is really true instead of our letting our fears control us. I ask that you will be with us, that you will help us to focus on your light today as we go throughout our day. Help us to see where we can be that light to others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the next step in this process is the keep. We want to keep the word in our heart. We want to take something away with us. And so in this instance, we, if you kind of think back to your Bible, we're called to be the light. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 actually says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden.
Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So if we think about what being the light means, and actually that's kind of complicated. When I was a kid and first memorized this verse, I was like, what on earth does that mean? How am I a light to those around me? How am I Jesus to those around me? I am a very practical person. I need an XYZ. This is what it looks like. But throughout the book of John, and then here in Isaiah 58, what we just read, it gives us some practical ways to do that. We loose the chains of injustice. We set the oppressed free. We provide for the poor. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We help those of our family who need it. We also answer those who cry out for help. We do away with the yoke of oppression. We satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Now, if you went out today and tried to do all of these, you would be utterly overwhelmed. It would exhaust you. And so what I encourage you to do is just, one, ask God, where can I be Jesus today? Where can I shine your light today? And be open to what he shows you. And if you're a mom with children at home, I would encourage you to take your kids along with you in doing that. So don't think you have to leave and go do something that is off here in left field and has one more thing to do your to-do list. I know that at my kids' school, some ways we could do this immediately are getting involved in the Kids Heart Challenge. That's for the American Cancer Association that one of my kids is involved in. At Christmas, we see the angel trees that they could help. During different times of the year, the school has different fundraising things where we can write a check, where we can reach out to people, but we can join in with what their school's already doing to do some of these things that talks about in Isaiah 58. So that's an excellent way to do it. That's easy, that supports your community, and that isn't adding a huge thing to your to-do list. We also often have things at our church. I know our church has a lot of different outreach opportunities where my kids and I could join in and do these things along with the church. For example, just a few weeks ago, our church sponsored a event for Feed Our Starving Children, which was excellent. My family honestly wasn't able to go because my husband and I had just gotten back in town from me from a conference and him from work the night before. So I wish we could have done it, but we weren't able to that time. But the pictures I saw, the stories I saw, if they do it again, I am going to mark it on my calendar and make sure my sons and I are there. Because that's an excellent way to join with something our church and community are already doing. So as you think about this, don't think you have to go do something else to add to your to-do list. See how you can do this and how God puts into your path in what you're already doing. My family also collects stuff from around our house that we don't need anymore. And so if we can, we give it to a local food place or not food place, I'm sorry, a local clothing place that needs it that might give these things away for free. If we can't or no one needs it like that, then we might give it to Goodwill, which also gives jobs to people who have special needs. We all know it allows lower income families, or goodness, even myself, to go buy good clothes for less money. So it helps them in that way. But look for ways that you can already get involved and that God might open your eyes to today. These are just a handful of those ideas. And don't feel like, I don't want you to feel burdened with one more thing. I just want your eyes to be open to what God's already wanting to do in your life and where you're at right now. So again, if you are just starting out in this holy habits journey, I want you to first and foremost get into the Word, get into God's Word. So either read it, join with our reading plan where we're reading through one chapter a week, two memory verses a month, which equals one mom closer to God. And that's really our goal here, is to get you closer to God. So grab our free Bible study guide and dive in with us. It is never too late. Two, I want you to just pray, Jesus, how can I shine your light today, and be open to what he's showing you? And then lastly, as I mentioned earlier, if you need help starting your holy habit of Bible reading, episode 46 will help you get started on that. It's a proven strategy that I have used in my life, in my kids' lives, and in the lives of my students at school time and time again. You all have a great week, and I'll see you back here next time. Bye-bye.
To make sure you don't miss a single episode, please hit the subscribe button in your podcast app. If you found this podcast helpful, please leave a rating and review on iTunes to help others find Over a Cup and join us on this journey. Thank you.